This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Attorney Randy Zellin is with us, also professor of law at Cornell Law School. Randy, I want to talk to you about a couple things involving the Koberger case. I want to touch on the proposed lifting of the gag order by the Gonsalves family and the media. And I want to talk about what exactly is going on here with the questioning interview that's now scheduled to take place with one of the surviving roommates. Originally, this was a subpoena seeming to go 0 to 100 really quick. And then there was some pushback, and now it's back down to not a subpoena, not even a deposition, but a, hey, let's get together and chat. If there is some sort of exculpatory evidence, which is the language that was being used by Koberger's defense, do they have to produce it? I mean, are they going to actually get this sort of evidence out of this surviving roommate? Wouldn't it already exist? Wouldn't we already know about it by now? What's your thoughts on where all of that is going?
Well, I think it's that. And the third possibility, which is no lawyer wants to be accused after the fact of being ineffective.
Yeah.
Because you had the opportunity to interview someone and you did not. And you're giving now the client the opportunity to throw all kinds of spaghetti up against the wall and say, listen, we don't know what these people would have said. You had an obligation to find out what they had to say. You didn't bother. And therefore, your assistance of counsel, what you did for me, fell below a minimum standard of what a competent lawyer would be expected to do. Why give a client that kind of an opening? So I think what happened there was, it was probably a combination of everyone recognizing that, look, there is a process when you want to subpoena someone who's out of state. Mm-hmm. You start with the home state that you're in. It goes from the home state you're in clerk's office to the clerk's office of the state where the people are. Then the clerk's office in the state where the people are, they issue the subpoena. It's a lot of a game of tag. Mm-hmm. And everybody probably recognized, do we really want to jump through these hoops? You know what? Just sit down and I'll ask the questions and you're going to tell me what I want to hear or you're going to tell me what I don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. So I think it was probably everyone recognizing that this is a lot of work. And let's just do it.
Mm-hmm. Making sure they can check that box. So there's nobody at the end of the day on appeals or anything saying, well, they didn't do this.
Because that's exactly what would happen.
Yeah.
He goes down in flames, convicted. Mm-hmm. New lawyer comes in. And the first thing the new lawyer is going to say, hey, wait a minute. There were witnesses who were there, mm-hmm. actually there. And you never bothered to interview them. You never bothered to find out what they had to say. And maybe they don't end up testifying, which means you could have called them as a witness. Or maybe they do end up testifying, but had you interviewed them through an investigator, maybe their story changes and now you can impeach their credibility. You were ineffective.
Sure, sure. If there is some sort of testimony or something in the interviews with police with this witness, with the surviving roommate, wouldn't it have come out by now if it's something that is truly exculpatory where it would like, well, wouldn't that have been happening earlier on questioning the whole story if there's something that is that powerful and that clear that has already been relayed to authorities months ago?
We would like to think so. But unfortunately, as we've seen many, many times, sometimes prosecutors miss things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes law enforcement miss things. And it's accidental. Sometimes law enforcement or a prosecutor misses something and it is maybe a little negligent. Oh, I was going to get to it and I forgot. Mm-hmm. And then you have, unfortunately, those sad instances where law enforcement and or a prosecutor says, gee, I can't turn this over. This is really bad. Let's just, like that scene from Naked Gun where, oh, here's the evidence. And you find it in the drawer 30 years later. He really was innocent.
Yeah.
So We've seen that happen, unfortunately, where exculpatory evidence, oh, my Lord, where did it go? Mm-hmm. Well, nobody knows that we had it, then I guess we never had it.
It's like the train's going in a certain direction and everybody wants to see it land and end at a certain point, but maybe it won't. And if there's something there to project that direction, it should come out. But of course, in a case like this, they're probably looking for almost anything they can to hang their hats on. What is your thoughts on the gag order, the request to have it lifted? Obviously, the media wants it lifted. That's not a surprise. But the Gonsalves family, Steve Gonsalves, obviously he's been one of the more vocal on this from the beginning. He wants it lifted. Is this a good idea? I it's hard to put myself in the place that he's got to be in and the way he's grieving for his daughter. And he wants to get his word out. He wants to speak and say things. Is that a good idea, though? Could this hurt or help the defense of Koberger? Should that be lifted?
Well, I think what it all boils down to is, like it or not, our Constitution, our system of justice, is designed at its core to protect the rights of a defendant. A defendant is presumed innocent. And what we don't want to have happen is a jury become infected and prejudge a case before the evidence is in and before they are excused and told to begin their deliberations. So as a lawyer and as a defense attorney, I fully appreciate and understand and recognize that there are times when the public's right to know and transparency in our system of justice must give way to ensuring that a defendant, and quite frankly, the state for that matter, that everyone gets a fair trial. Mm-hmm. And in a situation like this, it is going to be so easy to infect the jury with things that are not evidence, with things that may never become evidence. And that will lead to the potential for a tainted jury. So I do believe that it is appropriate in a case of this magnitude, with the stakes being this high and it being so highly publicized, that in fact, the defendant's right to a fair and impartial jury, the state's right to a fair and impartial jury, that's got to be protected at the expense of the public's right to know and a victim's family right to express themselves, whether it's cathartic, therapeutic, whatever the case may be. Mr. Koberger's rights, the state's rights, that's got to be at the forefront.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Attorney Randy Zellin, professor of law at Cornell Law School, thank you so much for your insight. Always, always appreciate having you on and sharing your thoughts. If you want an ad-free version of the show, binge away on everything, you can sign up to get that through Apple Podcasts right now. Even try it for 3 days free. Go check that out. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.